Good morning. Parish notices. We do have a few announcements that I would like to bring forth to the congregation. The hospitality table begins next week. If you would like to help out with the bringing of cookies or drink, sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board for snacks. That'll be awesome. So the hospitality table begins next week. We have the pickle jar offering this morning. So during our closing hymn, as the Spirit moves you, if you would like to bring donations forward for local needs, we'll have the pickle jar. UMW during Convoy Community Days will be having pop on sale here at the church for the festivities of the day, and they need pop donations. Pop is on sale currently at Marsh, so if you would like to go to Marsh and grab some pop and donate it to the UMW, now's the time to do that for Convoy Community Days on September 26. And then, along with the other notices in your bulletin, take note of the Charge Conference at Van Wert Trinity United Methodist Church on Sunday, October 18th at 6 p.m. Are there any other parish notices to come forth at this time? Okay.
I also have one. First of all, welcome. If you are a visitor with us, we are glad you're here. We are on Facebook, and we are also on the web at www.convoyumc.org. And so we invite you to look at those places. And in that light, we are still doing our campaign for the Right Now Media. And you can go to that. We send out emails. Check and make sure that you check your emails. We know that I got a response from Nate, who is our coach, last week. And he said that we had about 15 people who have logged in. Make sure you log in and set up an account. And so those are coming. If you haven't gotten it yet, it will be there. And look for Nate Hickman or Right Now Media. Either one of those, and make sure it doesn't go to spam. So if you've given us your email and you haven't received it yet, then check your spam or your trash and make sure that hasn't gotten there. Also with that, as we know, we've struggled with, this is a Labor Day weekend, and so folks are gone, they are celebrating, they're away. And today we're doing, it's a musical Sunday. So I am not going to ask, I know how well it goes when I ask everybody to move forward, but the flip side of that is that if you don't want to move forward, that's fine, but that means you get to sing loud. So loud and proud, there is a song by one of the contemporary Christian musicians called Undignified. And it's all about how sometimes we get wrapped up in, well, we're not musical, or we can't sing really well, or we don't want to do anything too undignified. But there is nothing in praising God that is undignified, and so I invite you, as we sing, to sing loud for that. And with that, we have part of our goal is to reach a lost world, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, and so I have a video to help us encourage us in that.
I should invite him to church. I mean, what could happen?
Yeah, let's go to church.
I'm Jewish. What are you saying? What's wrong with me? Yeah, just yesterday I was thinking I wanted to get up really early in the morning, go hear stories about old dead guys. Dude, let's do it, let's knock it out. Yeah, totally. Let me check my calendar and make sure I'm clear for that. Delete? Yeah, dude, let's go to church. Let's party it up, the church. What? I should invite him to church. I mean, what could happen? Hey, you want to check out church with me on a Sunday? Cool.
Thank you, Pastor Melissa. Do we have any other parish notices this morning? Let us prepare our hearts for morning worship. Will you please stand with me for the opening prayer? Dear Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. And Lord, what could happen as we come together as a church community? Lord, we strengthen our relationships with each other. We strengthen our community of faith. And most importantly, we strengthen our faith in you and your word. And you lead us in a direction that is honorable to Christian discipleship. Lord, we thank you for the miracles that you have performed through the Holy Spirit. And we praise those miracles through the gift of song today. All these things we pray in your name. Amen. Let us join together in hymn 171, There's Something About That Name.
call to worship. Clap your hands, all people.
Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord Most High is to be feared.
The great ruler of all the earth.
Who subdued peoples under his feet.
Who chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom God blessed.
God has gone up with a shout. Sing praises to God. Sing praises.
Sing praises to our rulers. Sing praises.
For God is the ruler of the earth. Sing praises with a song. Amen. Our opening song is Come Christians Join to Sing.
Let us take this time and join together in the passing of the peace. Gosh darn it. Good morning, Juanita.
Good morning to you.
As we gather together, we pass the peace and we share together our joys and our concerns, and we invite the children to come forward for the children's message. As we sing, Jesus loves me.
Thank you.
Well, I bet you guys have had a big week this week, have you? Have you been to the fair? Yeah? You haven't been to the fair yet? You go tomorrow? Yeah. So we have a lot. We've got the fair going on and a lot of things like that. And then tomorrow we probably have a big celebration, don't we? You know what that is? You know what tomorrow is? Yeah? Labor Day. Yeah, so what do we celebrate on Labor Day? How about workers? I brought with me some things to remind us about that. I brought a hammer. Who might use a hammer? Pardon? Builders, yeah. Builders and people who do things with wood. And so construction workers, they would need a hammer for that. I brought with me one of my hats. Who might use this hat? Ranchers, exactly. I mean, you didn't think about cowboys as being workers, did you? Because it sounds like fun. But it's work, and so there are some some cowboys that work for a living doing that. What about, what are some of the other jobs that people have? Can you think about other jobs? Are your dads ranchers? No, what do they do? Work in hospitals, yeah. We've got hospital workers, and we have, now tomorrow you won't go to school, but Tuesday you will, and so who else do we have? Oh, you go Wednesday? Okay, so Wednesday you go. So who works in the schools? Teachers, yeah, there's all kinds of things. And so Labor Day is a day that we remember that it takes everybody to do their jobs, to make the country work and to work together. And that we appreciate it. Can you build a house? Would you be able to build a house today? No, I couldn't either. And so I appreciate the people who build houses. Could you, like, ranch some cattle or anything like that today? No, I couldn't either. So I'm happy that there are people that do that. And you know what? I couldn't teach school either. So I'm happy that there are teachers and people who teach. So today, tomorrow, as you know, you guys probably think of it as just a big day off, huh? Yeah. But there is a reason that we have this holiday. And so we remember those that have worked really hard all year long. And they work for us and for our country so that we can be strong. So let's have a prayer. Gracious God, you told us that you will provide the laborers, Lord, the laborers for your gospel, the laborers that share the mission and of the church, Lord. We thank you that you call us to be laborers in sharing your gospel message. And we thank you, Lord, for all those people that use all the gifts that you gave them to do all of the work that needs to be done, and for this day of rest and Sabbath. And we ask it in your name. Amen. All right, guys. Get one, take the other. Do one of you guys want to help me out with the prayers and joys? Thanks for helping me out. You guys can return to your seat. Do we have joys and concerns to share? Anybody? All right.
Modest, but one of her granddaughters had a grand champion yesterday.
Oh, yay! That's awesome. Any other praises?
Well, we were thankful we were married in this church 66 years ago, this June. We're Bill and Dottie McComber. I'm a retired minister, and we live at Otterbein St. Mary's. And we need to come back and visit this church to renew some friends and get acquainted. Thank you.
We are so glad that you're here. And it is no small thing to say that I bet that your leadership and your influence here is the reason why we're still here today. That, you know, it takes us to be here and to share in our ministries and our gifts with each other, and that keeps this church strong and growing. So thank you for that. Thank you for your ministry. Others? I know I need to highlight and just want to lift up Bev Allison is still healing, but she's doing much better. And to keep Wilmer in your prayers as well. And to keep Kathy in your prayers, Kathy McClure, who is still healing from a broken leg. And hopefully she'll be able to return home soon. So they're still waiting to get everything handicapped accessible. But that's in the near future. So I believe that's it as far as parish. Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly and gracious God, we have so many praises. We give you thanks, Lord. We thank you for birthdays and anniversaries and for witnesses, Lord, for people who have been mentors and leaders in the church, not only this church, but the churches across the country that stand, Lord, as faithful servants. Faithful and humble servants, especially amidst a culture that is changing so fast that it's hard to keep up. And we pray, Lord, that you help us to be faithful witnesses also, to keep the church relevant, and that we would stand apart and not to become so much a part of culture that we lose our identity. So we ask for your blessing on your church and your church leaders today. We thank you for a day apart, Lord. We know that Sabbath keeping is sometimes a hard thing to do. And so we are grateful for an extra day of Sabbath and that we might use it to celebrate you, to honor you, and to worship you, to give thanks, Lord. To give thanks for all the blessings that you give to us. And in the midst of that, Lord, we have places of concern and places of caring. Lord, we lift up to you Wilmer, Lord, and Keith, and we pray your blessing on them. We pray that you continue to be with the folks that go to visit him and to whisper your love into his ear. We pray for those that are healing today. We give you thanks for the great healings that you've been doing, Lord, for Linda, for Bev, for Kathy, and for all those that have had different things going on health-wise. All of these things, Lord, you already know, you're already aware of. It's already in your care. But we connect our spirit to your spirit as we ask for these things. And we just ask, gracious God, that you would give us even this 1 second, 1 minute of Sabbath as we just spend it in quiet at your feet. Heavenly Father, we pray for the immigrants around the world and for those who are under oppression and for the terrible situations of unrest and unpeace around the world. We are ever mindful and aware of that, of the things that go on in our own country and in our own neighborhoods and the injustices that take place. Open our hearts and open our minds to them. As we join together with all of our brothers and sisters, as we say the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
This morning we have two scripture readings, and the first one is from the 92nd Psalm, verses 1 through 4, and on this Labor Day weekend, it is most appropriate, as the theme of the 92nd Psalm is to be thankful and faithful every day. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works at your hands. Let us join together and stand for our next hymn, For the Beauty of the Earth, hymn number 92.
You may be seated.
Our second scripture reading is from Acts 16, 23 through 34. And to preface the reading, Paul and Silas have been jailed for performing miracles through the Holy Spirit. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Heavenly and gracious God, we honor you. We give you praise and we are unreserved in our love for you. Be with us this morning and guide us, and we pray it in your name. Amen. It is always a difficult thing on a Labor Day or a secular holiday to decide whether you're going to pay honor to the secular holiday in the church or not. And, you know, I think you'll probably hear me say that every single time we have a secular holiday. And that's not to say that Labor Day and Memorial Day and Veterans Day are not important. They are. It's simply to recognize the difference. And so this morning, I chose to use the theme of celebration for us as being a small group, and to really to impress on us how important it is for us to do whatever we do with everything that we have, with our whole hearts, whether it's praising God or singing or praying or whatever we do, that we do it with everything that we have. I know that, you know, we're told that in the book of Revelations that we are not to be lukewarm in anything. But I think sometimes we get really hung up. And so as we go forth this morning, I'm inviting you that as we sing the hymns and learn about them, that we would sing them and sing them with gusto. And I think I mentioned that John Wesley said, even in the opening book of your hymnal, that we are to sing with everything that we have, to sing robustly. And if you notice, I picked these scriptures. They may not seem like they go together well or that they go with a theme so much. But if you look at the Psalms tells us that we are to sing and to sing praises with instruments. And it doesn't necessarily say to sing it well. So, you know, I hear people say, "Well, I can't sing, so I just kind of don't say anything." Well, you know, that God doesn't say sing if you've got a good musical voice. He said sing, we are told to sing praises and invited to do that. And so much so that hymns, the music that we produce, changes lives. Imagine, just think about Paul. Paul and Silas are in jail. They've been beaten unrighteously, locked up. They've got shackles on their legs. They're in jail, and they are singing. Imagine, we know, the Bible tells us from the story, the impact that it made on their fellow prisoners who were there for a good reason, that these were hardened criminals. And they must have known that Paul and Silas were only there because they were preaching this message of Jesus. And yet they heard their hymns. In the midst of persecution, they saw and listened and heard Paul and Silas sing And it changed everything. Not only did the guards hear and the prisoners heard, but the heavens heard. And it rocked the world. So we can rock the world as well with our voices and with our hymns. And so it's interesting for us this morning. What I'd like to do is we will hear the lessons to hear about how the hymn was written, and then we'll sing a couple of the verses of some of the songs this morning. And it brings us a little bit, brings ties together the history. So music is always important to us. And the first one for us this morning is the song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And it was written in 1758. And it says this, Robert Robertson had a rough beginning. His father died when he was young, and his mother, unable to control him, sent him to London to learn to be a barber. What he learned instead was drinking and gang life. You know, imagine gang life in 1700s. When he was 17, he and his friends reportedly visited a fortune teller. Relaxed by alcohol, they laughed as she tried to tell their futures. But something about the encounter bothered Robert, and that evening he suggested to his buddies that they attend an evangelical service meeting held by George Whitefield. Whitefield was one of history's greatest preachers, with a voice that was part foghorn and part violin. That night he preached from Matthew 3:7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that comes?" Bursting into tears, Whitefield exclaimed, "Oh, my hearers, the wrath to come, the wrath to come." Robert immediately sobered up and sensed Whitefield was preaching directly to him. The preacher's words haunted him for nearly 3 years, until December 10, 1755, he gave his life and his heart to Christ. Robert soon entered the ministry, and 3 years later, at age 23, while serving Calvinist Methodist Chapel in Norfolk, England, he wrote a hymn for his sermon on Pentecost Sunday. It was a prayer that the Holy Spirit flooded into the hearts with his streams of mercy, enabling us to sing God's praises and remain faithful to him. Come, thou fount of every blessing has been a favorite of the church since that day. Robinson continued working for the Lord until 1790, when he was invited to Birmingham, England, to preach for Dr. Joseph Priestley, a noted Unitarian. There, on the morning of June 8th, he was found dead at age 54, having passed away quietly in the night. I invite you to remain seated, but to join us in singing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Thank you.
Our second hymn this morning is "O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." The Wesley brothers sent word of their conversion to their sainted mother, Susanna, who didn't know what to make of it. "I think you have fallen into an odd way of thinking," she replied. "You say that till within a few months you had no spiritual life and no justifying faith. I heartily rejoice that you have attained to a strong and lively hope in God's mercy through Christ. Not that I can think that you were totally without saving faith before, but it is one thing to have faith and another thing to be sensible we have it." Well, Charles was now very sensible of having it. His life changed and he gained victory over both his temper and his unfortunate drinking habit. "I was amazed to find my old enemy, intemperance, so suddenly subdued that I almost forgot I was ever in bondage to him." He also began to spread the news of what had happened to him. In the coach to London, he wrote, "I preached faith in Christ. A lady was extremely offended and threatened to beat me. I declared I deserved nothing but hell. So did she, and must confess it before she could have a title to heaven. This was most intolerable to her." New vitality came into Charles' public preaching. He discontinued the practice of reading his sermons and began preaching extemporaneously. He found a fruitful arena for ministry at the infamous Newgate Prison and allowed himself to be locked up with condemned men on nights before their executions that he might comfort and witness to them during their final hours. As the first anniversary of his conversion approached, Charles wrote an 18-stanza hymn describing his praise to the Lord. It was titled, "For the Anniversary Day of One's Conversion," and the first stanza began, "Glory to God and praise and love." Verse 7 began, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing," inspired by a statement Charles had once heard, "Had I a thousand tongues, I would praise him with them all." Beginning with the 1767 hymn book, the seventh stanza was made the first, and when John Wesley compiled his collection of hymns in 1780, he chose this for the first hymn in the book. Congregations today usually sing verses 7, 8, 9, and 10 of Wesley's original, which we know today as "O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing," and we will sing the first four verses at this time.
The third song, the third hymn this morning, was written in 1896. Someone once said, "Only in the Christian life does surrender bring victory." Judson, Wheeler, Venter learned that for himself. Born on a farm in Monroe County, Michigan, in 1885, Judson grew up interested in art and in music. He was converted to Christ at the age of 17. After graduating from college from Hillsdale, Michigan, Judson became an art teacher and then supervisor of art for the school in Shannon, Pennsylvania. In 1885, he toured Europe, visiting art galleries and museums and studying paintings. He was also a musician, having studied under numerous singing schools. All the while, Judson was heavily involved in his local Methodist Episcopal Church, where he sang in the choir. He found himself especially filled when participating in evangelical rallies and revivals in which people received Christ as their own personal Savior. Friends encouraged him to resign from the school system to enter full-time music evangelism. But for 5 years, he struggled with his decision. Finally, falling to his knees, he said, "Lord, if you want me to give up my work for you, I will do it. I will surrender all to thee." And for the next several years, he traveled extensively through the United States and through England and Scotland, assisting in evangelical work and leading the singing for Wilbur Chapman and other evangelists, winning many men and women for Christ. While engaged in meetings in East Palestine, Ohio, Judson stayed in the home of George Sebring, whose family founded Sebring, Ohio, and who himself later founded Sebring, Florida. It was there that he wrote the hymn, "I Surrender All," while recalling his own personal submission to full-time ministry. Moving to Tampa in 23, he began teaching hymnology at the Florida Bible Institute. He retired several years later, but still occasionally showed up on campus to lecture or to speak in the chapel. In the 1930s, a student of Florida Bible Institute sat wide-eyed, listening to Judson. That student would be the Reverend Billy Graham. Later, he wrote, "One of the evangelists who influenced my early preaching was the hymnist who wrote, 'I Surrender All.'" He was a regular visitor at the Florida Institute in the late 30s. We students loved this kind of deeply spiritual gentleman and often gathered in winter homes in Tampa for an evening of fellowship and singing. So I invite us to sing "I Surrender All," verses 1, 3, and 5.
Thank you. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. How fitting that missionaries should write to him about faith and trust. Louisa M. R. Steed was born in 1850 in Dover, England, and became a Christian at the age of 9. She felt the burden to become a missionary in her teenage years. When she was 21 or so, she immigrated to the United States and attended a revival at Urbana, Ohio. There, the Lord deeply impressed her with a ringing missionary call. She made plans to go to China, but her hopes were dashed when her health proved too frail for the climate there. Shortly afterwards, she married a man named Steed. But sometime around 1879 or 1880, Mr. Steed drowned off the coast of Long Island. Some accounts say that he saved a boy who was drowning, and other accounts say both Mr. Steed and the boy drowned. Other records suggest that it was his own 4-year-old daughter, Lily, that he saved. In any event, the family's beachside picnic ended in tragedy for Louisa. Shortly afterward, taking little Louisa went to South Africa as a missionary, and it was there during those days she wrote, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." Louisa served in South Africa for 15 years, and while there she married Robert Woodhouse. When her health forced a return to America, Robert pastored a local Methodist church. In 1900, her health restored. Robert and Louisa attended a large missionary conference in New York and were so enthused that by the experience they gave, again offered themselves for missionary candidates. They arrived at a Methodist missionaries in Rhodesia on April 4th of 1901. In connection with this whole mission, there are glorious possibilities, she wrote. One cannot, in the face of a particular difficulties, help saying, who is sufficient for these things? But with simple confidence and trust, we may and then say, our sufficiency is of God. Louisa retired in 1911 and passed away in 1917. But her daughter, Lily, married missionary D.A. Carson and continued to work for many years at the Methodist Mission Station in southern Rhodesia, which is now Zimbabwe.
Thank you.
We live with and believe in a mysterious God who is alive and living. These hymns have shown us that people that are from our own area, people from Ohio and Michigan and close to us, have changed the world and have given us some of the world's greatest hymns, that we would just trust and believe in Jesus. And a reflection of our trust to Jesus, the Jesus that we know and believe in, invites all of us who love our neighbors and love Jesus to come to the table. It is through his precious blood that we are the church, and so we celebrate. We never go before the table without a minute of confession, and so I invite you for a minute of silence that you might confess your own sins before the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we have not loved you. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have fallen short. In those places where you've called us, we have failed to act. In the places that you have opened doors for us, forgive us, gracious God, that we may be redeemed by the giving and the receiving of your body and blood, Lord. In Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That shows God's love for us. In the name of Jesus, you are forgiven. Amen. On the night that Jesus gave himself up for us, he took the bread and gave thanks for it. And he sat with his disciples. He took the bread. He broke it. He gave it to those that he was closest to, those he had called into ministry, that he'd taken from their lives as common folks. And he gave it to him. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the meal was over, and after they had finished eating at the table, he took the cup and gave thanks for it and blessed it. And he gave it to the disciples. And he said, "I'm doing a whole new thing. No longer do you have to be perfect or work to strive to keep all of the laws, but this is my blood that is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in memory of me." So we give you thanks, O gracious God, for these gifts of bread and wine. We pray, O Lord, that they would be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood, that we may be in mission to all the world until we feast at his heavenly banquet. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all honor is yours, Almighty Father. Amen. We believe that the table is a feast. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are tired and weary, and take my yoke. It's light." So we invite you to come forward for the taking of the elements. And gracious God, we give you thanks for these your gifts. Pour out your spirit on us that are gathered here. Bless us in it as we remember with your disciples all those years ago and all the folks across the world that participate in communion this morning, that we are one family. We are brought together underneath the head of Christ. And we give you thanks. Amen. It is always, as we are reminded of the things, the great things God has done for us, we also remember that he calls us to participate in a spiritual act of worship in the giving and the receiving of our tithes. And so I invite the ushers to gather our tithes and offerings. I invite you to stand as you're able. Lord, you have met our every need, and we are people of joy. We offer these gifts, accompanied by praise and song to you, O God, giver of every good gift. Bless these gifts that we offer to you for your service and the glory of your kingdom. Amen. 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 I suggest that we sing one verse of Christ for the World We Sing, which is 568, as we conclude our service. Thank you. May you go with a song in your heart that you can't contain. May God give that to you that you may share it with the world, that they may believe in the Jesus that we know and love. Go in peace, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.